Hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and exploration. Join me, your host, Sam Harris, as I discover how mindset can help you do incredible things through my conversations with the world's most interesting people, from tech billionaires to leading scientists, best-selling authors to notorious hackers. The goal is to increase our collective wisdom and attitudes to make us all happier and healthier, wiser and wealthier. Who doesn't want that?
One of the biggest positions we put on, and still many hold it to this day, was we bought Tesla at $19-$20 a share. What I really would like to do is see people on my team actually have their own startups one day. I've always thought it's really cool. We all have short windows in life. I want to find out my purposes in life, and that's one of them, is to take care of my kids and build my business and really drive this forward. We don't quit, and we just keep coming and coming and coming. You don't stop. You just can't stop. You just got to keep going. You cannot stop no matter how bad things get. Don't throw in the towel and just continue to have faith and keep moving forward. That's what we try to do.
On the show today, we have Agustin Gonzalez. He is the CEO of Paranoid Fan, an app that shows you on a map everything you need to know when you're at the live event, because Google Maps just really doesn't help with these things. He is also the single father of three boys and has a truly inspiring tale of courage and resilience that will just blow you away. It was my honor to talk with him about some amazingly deep topics and just get schooled on some massive life lessons from him on how to pick yourself up and keep going and be successful despite everything in life pushing against you. So it was a really great interview, and I hope you enjoy it.
My name is Agustin Gonzalez. My father was an owner of a funeral home. My mother is a school teacher. I have three sisters, and my parents worked really hard to educate us, all of us at home. And I was lucky enough to attend the Air Force Academy for undergraduates, and where I wanted to become a pilot in the Air Force. Unfortunately, I became disabled from an illness known as ulcerative colitis, and ended up going working at Merrill Lynch as a trader for wealthy families. And so that ended up stopping working at Merrill Lynch. Then ended up CEO of Paranoid Fan, a social mapping platform that allows brands, clubs, and teams to drive mobility around live experiences. So let's say, for example, you're going to a soccer game or NFL game. You'd like to know where to buy a jersey, where to buy a beer, where to find like the Uber pickup drop-off zone. Use our maps to find those points of interest most applicable to that live game day environment.
So it seems quite like a nice thing to have, but how do you commercialize that?
One of the ways we commercialize this is we allow brands and teams to actually take over the maps and identify those on those maps, the emojis that are most applicable. So let's say, for example, we work with the Washington Redskins in the NFL. And they actually take over the map and they identify those points of interest, like fan zones, section seat numbers, the Uber pickup drop-off zone, concessions. So we work with the teams and the clubs to help identify those points of interest on the map that are most applicable.
When you launched it, were you quite sort of fine-grained, or did you try and launch on the whole of America?
We did some proof of concepts. The first one we did was a Lollapalooza in Chicago, Illinois, about 2.5 years ago. And it went really well. In fact, so much so that our app actually took off on a Reddit message board, and there was over 1,000 users that downloaded the app the morning of Lollapalooza. So we found that there was some interest for us, and so that made us very exciting. Shortly thereafter, I ended up applying to Techstars. I got it picked up by Techstars, and that's where I met Eamon as my managing director. And really the rest is history.
Cool. Did you have the whole idea all in just one go?
So that idea, it really manifested itself really on one day and one night. I can actually remember the day. It was on Copacabana Beach in Rio. And I'm sitting waiting for a cabin, and it occurs to me, and I'm looking at my phone, I'm like, what if we could actually have these maps in real time? They can actually identify these Uber pickup drop-off zones. They could show where to buy a beer, where I could buy something to eat, where I could find other USA fans. And it occurred to me. So I literally started wireframing out the product when I was out there along the beach. I sent over to my friend Adil, who's today my CTO at Paranoid Fan, and we started working on it together. It was just something that was needed. I knew that this is something that could potentially be used in the market, and it was a matter of us putting our idea to practice and executing a product that would have meaningful results, as we've seen so far.
And what would you say was your biggest growth hack?
Oh, it has to be the way we distributed our APIs and the team apps. That was the biggest thing. I mean, building out any kind of social consumer mobile application is real tough to do, right, natively. Extremely tough. It's almost impossible nowadays. People aren't downloading these apps as frequently as they are today. By us being able to inject our maps into other team apps, it allowed us to grow reach really quick and to grow to scale very fast. So, for example, our maps are actually deployed with teams all across the NFL, teams all over Latin America, including the Mexican national team, Club America, which is one of the biggest teams in Mexico, teams in Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Colombia. Wow. Cool. Go all over the world. Take over our maps and deploy our maps onto their digital assets. It allowed us to see really quick, we allowed us to scale growth very fast. So one of the questions I'm always asked is, can't someone come in and do exactly what you're doing and copy you guys and beat you to the punch? And sure, anyone can copy anyone, right, in mobile social space. But I think what's going to help to build our defensive moats will be those relationships that we have with those teams all over the world. And so we spend months on the road cultivating those relationships, getting to know our customers, getting to know what they want, how we can make our product better around their kind of want, their needs and whatnot. So that for us is one of the biggest goals when we're trying to build our businesses, is not only are we making the consumer happy, right, but we also, is the institutions also happy, and what can we do to improve the product? So I always stress with these different teams that we work with, that we're both collaborating together. If you have any questions, you have any comments, if there's anything that you could, that you see that we could probably do better, please let us know. We're very open to new ideas. And really, it's our product really is just a mashup of different ideas, and it's been refined through these different institutions that have helped us build.
Yes, it's funny, as in when I was younger, before I started entrepreneurship, I always was really against sales. I thought kind of the mindset of sales was more like trying to make someone buy something they don't want, like scammy. Now I love sales because it's basically just solving people's problems and just going in and like working out what's annoying for them and like fixing it. And like you can be really helpful and make someone make more money. And like it's such a good thing to be doing when you're doing it right.
Yeah, sales have become, they've I guess transformed themselves from more transactional based 50 years ago, it's more relationship based now, right?
Yeah.
And it's real fun to pitch people and to build those relationships. They can be so meaningful and you feel so good about what you're doing. And especially like you mentioned, if you can help people solve their problems, it makes it even more powerful. It's exciting stuff, man. I love being in product. Sometimes I love being in sales. Sometimes I love being in operations. So there's so many different elements. You wear so many different hats in startup life that that's the joy I have with our company, and that's the joy I have with my personal mission with Paranoid Fan.
I guess I'm kind of thinking about like what you were trading before. I'm guessing you made quite a lot of money to be able to fund doing different ideas for a while.
Yeah, I got something that's interesting. Yeah, so it's when I was at Merrill Trading, I was trading for wealthy families, and one of the biggest positions that we put on, and still many hold it to this date, was we bought Tesla at $19-$20 a share.
Wow.
So, and we bought some Amazon at around 70, 75. So you can imagine what we're today. So many of those same investors that bought those positions back, I guess, about 10 years ago, are still holding those positions. So they've made a nice chunk of money from that. One of the things I always admire about tech startups and tech CEOs was that a lot of times you're really investing in the CEO themselves.
That's awesome. So you were paying your CTO as a contractor then?
So yeah, initially I paid him as a contractor, and actually my CTO is from Pakistan.
Oh,
so he
ended
up bringing his family to the US because of Paranoid Fan, and he believed in our mission. And so he's been with me now for the better part of, I guess, 8 years. So I have a great relationship with him. He's a brother to me, and he's at the very heart of the technology. So I think we have a good working relationship. I do a lot of the business development and the product vision, and so we're a good match.
Yeah, normally you hear people say like outsourcing to Indian devs or Pakistani devs is like a really bad idea when you're first starting.
That's funny.
How did you screen?
So I've literally probably gone, and he and I collectively have probably gone through 300 or 400 different dev people from all over the world. It's really, it's so hard to do, and it's almost like the Wild Wild West out there when it comes. Back then, I think I found him on freelancer.com, right? Back then it was called Freelancer. But yeah, whether it's on Upwork or Freelancer, there's a lot of due diligence that goes in terms of trying to identify who the best fits are. But those platforms have gotten strong over the past several years in terms of ratings and being able to see feedback on those users or those programmers and developers. So it's allowed us to define who's a better fit for our culture and whatnot.
Okay, cool. Do you do much mentoring of other startups than that?
Not really. I don't do much mentoring at the moment. What I really would like to do is see people on my team actually have their own startups one day. I've always thought it's really cool, whether it's a football coach and his assistant coaches end up having become head coaches at other teams, or startup founders who have other executives on their team that become CEOs of their own startups. I always thought that's really cool. And so I always encourage my team that if they want to do something, and I'd be more than happy to help them and advise them to at some point down the road. But yeah, I always thought that's one of the most, that's a great compliment to leadership, right?
Yeah, so how do you manage that with being a father of three kids?
I'm a single father of three boys, Nicholas, Vladimir, Nelson.
All boys.
Seven. Yes, all boys. And that's a role I take very serious and I'm very proud of. That they came about because my wife, Elizabeth, was actually diagnosed with ALS back in 2010. She ended up coming home from work one day and she says, "Hey, I'm having trouble lifting my left arm. And we thought maybe it was just due because maybe she was having weakness. We thought maybe it was something to do with some kind of injury she had or whatnot. But then that manifested itself to the right arm, then her left arm, then her left leg and right leg. And I ended up taking her to Johns Hopkins Hospital in Washington, D.C., where she was diagnosed with ALS and given about 24 months to live. Obviously, that was a significant challenge in life and something that I've worked around and whatnot. So we had three boys. In fact, she was pregnant with my third boy while she had ALS. And I think as far as we've been told, she was the only documented female that's been pregnant and diagnosed with ALS at the same time.
Wow. Crazy story. So that was like at the same time that you were just starting the business?
Well, actually, it was right before. So I was trading stocks and ended up staying home to take care of her. Because when someone has ALS and it becomes very developed, you have to caregive for them, meaning take them showers, feed them food, be by their bedside to care for them the entire time, and put my entire professional career on hold while I took care of her. But it was towards the latter part of that care for her where I started thinking about, well, maybe I can do some idea on the side for technology, for sports and tech. And that's when I actually went out and looked on freelancer.com and I found a deal, which is the CTO I have today. And I found him and said, hey, would you be interested in just tinkering with me in some kind of like almost an incubator of sorts to find different ideas within tech space and sports and tech? So he said, yeah, I'll work with you. So we tried all kinds of different things, like a tech meme for sports. We tried a social network for sports. So I would continue to just tinker with different ideas. And we did that for about a good year and a half to 2 years before. And then finding the real idea in 2014.
Wow. Cool that you didn't give up. And
I've always been inspired by my wife Elizabeth and the challenges she went through back in 2010 to 2012. And she was a very intelligent woman, and I was very fortunate enough to be married to such a beautiful and intelligent person. And she was actually an aeronautical engineer for Bought Aircraft, and she worked on the V-22. She had massive brains and a lot smarter than myself, but she was really a guiding light for me in terms of my personal mission and really maximizing the opportunities I have today. We all have short windows in life, and that's something I always think about a lot. And I like to think of myself as being very spiritual in a sense that I want to find out what my mission is in life, what my purpose is in life. And that's one of them, is to take care of my kids and build my business and really drive this forward.
Oh, yeah. Strong. How do you stay positive with all that going on? Because it seems like kind of like a end of the world scenario.
You know, a lot of that goes back to my parents and my upbringing with them. They always really told me to stay focused on what I'm doing here today. And I always had them to lean on to as well. It can be very challenging and difficult, obviously, to keep focused on that. But I've always been very positive, always been real resilient, and I always never quit. So that's been one of my biggest strengths, I think, as a person. And that's manifested itself into my startup as well. We don't quit, and we just keep coming and coming and coming. You don't stop. You just can't stop. You just got to keep going. You cannot stop no matter how bad things get. Don't throw in the towel and just continue to have faith and keep moving forward. That's what we try to do.
Yeah, I've definitely had sort of the days where like everything just makes no sense and you're like, oh, this is such a stupid idea. Why am I doing this? And then like a week later, like, oh yeah, this is perfect. And getting through the days and keeping going when you kind of have no idea of what the end in sight would be like, but you just just stop thinking about it and just carry on.
I've been lucky enough to have a great support system. I think that's the other part of it too, is I'm not a self-made man, and that's part of what Paranoid Fan and our success has been, the fact that I've been lucky enough to be around some real, really supportful people. My parents, for example, are huge supporters of mine, and they've always been there by my side, and they're my biggest personal mentors. And whether it's through my business or it's through my family, they've always been there to support me and unequivocally. It's a really team sport, right? I was listening to Katie Lake from Stitch Fix talk on an interview, I think, for NPR recently. And she says in there, it's truly a team sport, being an entrepreneur, being a CEO, a startup CEO. And I couldn't agree enough with that statement. And there's a lot of people that are involved, and having an entire support system is critical to driving success.
Yeah, that's really true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you try and take everything on your shoulders, it's pretty hard. Yeah, I like to ask people what the biggest risk they've taken is.
In a lot of ways, I'm comfortable with risk. And I think I got comfortable with the risk when I was trading stocks in Merrill Lynch.
Crash.
So I've become comfortable with that. In a lot of ways, too, I always think like staying in corporate America at the mercy of corporate managers, I almost feel like that would be more riskier than me without dictating my own paycheck, right? I'd rather have the bonus of that risk and deal with it by myself, as opposed to having to worry about upper level management, the politics that are associated with such. I'd rather just take it on myself. So I've always been comfortable with it. I've always been very entrepreneurial.
What would you say as someone who like looks at all the stock markets or like CEO of a business and things, what are you worried
about? Honestly, I think things are pretty core. Now, I think right now, I think with interest rates as low as they are, geopolitics pretty at pretty tame levels at the moment. I think we're going to be okay in the near term. I don't see any meaningful corrections coming up.
Yeah, so you're not predicting any of the crashes and stuff that some people are saying.
Yeah. I think sometimes people would look for crashes and whatnot, but I think the one thing that I learned from the stock market is no one can ever predict the future. And it's like startup investing, right? You never can predict the future. You have to establish your right and left boundaries and just continue to move forward. And disregard the noise. I'm a big NFL football fan, and one of my favorite players is Tom Brady. One of his favorite quotes is, mental toughness is about forgetting all the bullshit and just moving forward, right? And that's really what it comes down to, whether it's investing in startups, whether it's starting a startup, whether it's building your family and managing your families, just keep moving forward. That's my ethos.
Okay, so if we go back to your childhood, what's your most vivid memory?
I can always remember my parents always being very encouraging me and taking care of me a lot. My dad, when he was building his business, he literally would work 7 days a week, at least 12 hours a day, and building his business from scratch. And my mom was very supportive of him. But my father always found ways to make it to my sports games, to my school events. And my mother was always very supportive. He was a tough one on me. My mom was very understanding of me too. So they were kind of bad cop, good cop from time to time. Mm. But the experiences they had on me, they had a profound effect on me building myself as a person and building this extreme confidence that I have today.
You think you're able to do that for your kids?
I believe so. I hope that they see through my experiences with my wife, her passing, and then with my experiences with my startup, and that they can see the same work ethic that I learned from my father. They can see the same integrity that I learned from my parents and the same drive that I've gained from those experiences, and they can learn them too as well. That's my hope, at least.
Yeah, it's hard to know with kids and... When I was growing up, I guess my dad was doing lots of entrepreneurial stuff, but I never really noticed it. Like, that was just life, as in my dad does his things, and that's like what happens when you're a person who's a dad. And it didn't really kind of like go into my brain that much until I was a little bit older and I started my first business and was like, oh, dad, you know about this. What do I do? And then I kind of like got into all the things he used to be doing. I'm like, wow, I just totally forgot what you were doing the whole time. This makes so much sense.
I've always been a big fan of people that really hone their craft and take ownership of their craft, right?
Mm.
I see people, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a sports athlete, whether you're a carpenter, people take ownership of their craft. And it's so cool. I have so much admiration for that. And that's kind of one of my goals. And in fact, I'm a huge Radiohead fan. And so I've always been a big Radiohead fan, and mostly because I'm a big fan of Thom Yorke. And I've always admired Thom Yorke, that after all these years, even after playing music for like, what, 25, almost 30 years now, he still pushes the creative boundary. He still has a good time and he still loves what he does. And I absolutely have a deep affection for people that are like that, whether it's in sports, music, arts, business, at home with the kids, parents, children. That's one of my things I love the most.
Cool. So being dad with a bunch of boys, do you not worry that there's not much female aspect to it? And I don't know about your business, but most tech businesses are basically just all guys as well.
That's a great, yeah. So I'm lucky enough to have, they're surrounded by my mother and my sisters, and then I have a great relationship with my wife's family as well, her father and her sisters and brothers. So there's plenty of love to go around, and they have exposure to, I'd say, multiple mothers, if you will. They're very good kids, and I'm a very fortunate person. I'm not a self-made man. I'm very lucky to be where I'm at today.
One thing I like to ask people is, what's the kindest thing anyone's ever done for them?
Oh, wow. People do all kinds of kind of things. Probably maybe shortly after their mom passed away, we'd have every day someone bringing meals to the house, taking care of the kids, whether it was diapers for the kids, it was meals, toys. It was just a overwhelming support that came from so many families and individuals all around the community. So that was huge for us.
Yeah, I guess that makes a big difference. Do you think that changed you when you're trying to help others?
I think one of the most positive attributes for me as a person is I'm very thoughtful about what I do and how I impact others. And I like to think that my EQ is pretty high. And so I don't ever want to be reckless with people and their emotions. But by the same token, I know that I have to continue to push the envelope and be mission driven, right? That's the goal here. And I think one of the many things that I learned from when I lost my wife and with my family situation now is we got to just keep pressing forward, right? Everyone has challenges. And everyone's going to have difficulties in life. Life can be suffering, and that's something we have to embrace and accept. And along with that, we just have to continue to move forward every day of our lives and achieving the goals we have set for ourselves.
Sounds like you've got like a really good growth mindset of self-improvement. Is there any way that you make sure you're doing the best thing?
Yeah, I really try to think about my self-improvement. One of my favorite books to read is The Alchemist. That's a killer book. I absolutely love it. And it's about Santiago finding his personal journey in life, what his purpose in life. I think that's what I center my mind around is, what's my personal mission? What am I trying to achieve? And what am I going to do to get there? Because at the end of the day, it's all I have, right? I have my family and my mission. And that's really just it. And so I spent tons of time reading on the weekends. I love reading. Even during the week, I try to break off as much time as I can to read books and really dive deeply into connecting those books or even musical lyrics to personal life.
Yeah. Have you got a favorite book that you've read this year?
One I really liked a lot was Beyond Entrepreneurship by James Collins. I actually got that from Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, as a book recommendation. And the first 80 pages are probably the best. It's like a CEO, a handbook for CEOs. It is perfect. It talks about missions, how to develop your culture, what to be looking for, new hires for your company. It's a really outstanding book.
Kids, try that out. Have you ever read The Little Prince?
No, I haven't. Would you recommend that?
Yeah, I'd really recommend that if you like The Alchemist. It's a book for children, but then if you read it as an adult, you're like, whoa, this is so true. Oh my God. It talks about the world from like the eyes of a child, but all the important things that we think are important are so meaningless and chasing the wrong things and stuff. And it's a really beautifully written book. So you might enjoy that if you like The Alchemist.
I'll check it out. For sure, check it out.
Yeah, it's probably a good one to read with the kids kind of thing. But also to read by yourself, I really enjoyed it.
I'm excited for your podcast and where it's heading.
Yeah, thanks.
So far.
Yeah. Cool. So you've already given me some really good advice in terms of like resilience and focus and things. But what is the greatest piece of advice someone's given you?
I would probably say my grandfather as I was a little kid. Always driving me to work very hard and never quit and always keep moving forward. As I mentioned earlier, that I was lucky enough to be around two men who really focused on driving forward and really be focusing at the moment and not worrying about the things you can't control. And that's so hard to think about. It's so hard to put in practice. And I'm still challenged with that. And my father still has to remind me from time to time about being focused on the present and now, not worrying about things that I can't control. But I would say that's probably it. Just keep moving forward and never quit. That's as simple as it is, that's a very like the most probably basic ingredient to entrepreneurship, right? Is being resilient and just being like that kind of never surrender attitude. I sincerely appreciate your time, and I'm excited about our business. I'm excited about you. I'm excited to see what your podcast. I always want to say I was one of the first guys in the first year. It's exciting to me. I don't do these podcasts very frequently. In fact, this is probably my second one. I've always wanted to be very like just sincere and just thoughtful of what I talk about and not full of generic buzzwords and statements, right? Just being me and being who I am and being real.
It's really nice talking to you. Didn't disappoint at all.
Awesome. That's cool, man. Well, thanks so much.
So that's the end of the interview. And just wow. Augustin is really an incredible individual. Amazing what he's gone through and what he's achieved. So now, onto my top tips from the episode. Number one, focus on your thing. Don't get distracted or let life get you down. Live in the present and just keep moving. Now, Augustin said this so many times during the interview, and I genuinely actually got a little frustrated, and I admit, I was just trying to perhaps like dig into other insights from him just to sort of have him say something else. But I was being a complete idiot because it's just so bloody hard to actually do this and so damn important to focus on being in the present and just keep moving sometimes. And it does sound like a fairly simple idea, but it's actually a nightmare to implement. And I can easily look back at many times where I've been weak or unfocused on my goals and just let other things get in the way. His story really puts things in perspective. And if you think you have a hard time, then you should really pick yourself up, take his advice and just move on. And Augustin is truly a master of living in the moment and getting the most out of life and living with a purpose. He's an incredible example of what a human can do despite everything going against you. And as he says, just keep moving. Number two, try out ideas before it's too late. Augustin was worried he would become a wage slave for life if he didn't quit his job and start trying ideas. And he just did that. He had numerous failures and he just kept on trying different things till he finally had an idea that he was able to get traction on. It's easy to never take the risk or to give up after you fail once or twice, maybe, or five times. But again, it's about not giving up and just moving on relentlessly. Number three, be mindful of others. Augustin mentioned that he tries to be mindful of others, and I can tell you from my direct experience with him that he really is. I mean, you can't tell from the episode that I've just released in the podcast, but actually the original recording was over an hour long, and I totally murdered the interview. Augustin had such amazing tips, but I kept on asking stupid questions or missing the point, and Jesus, I really messed this interview up. I can't tell you how badly I messed up. But yeah, it also wasn't helped by the fact that I was under just lots of self-inflicted workload stress and generally busy, and he just sent me such a kind email afterwards being like, bro, no worries if you need to delay the podcast or just not publish. It was great chatting with you. Just no pressure from my side. If it's not the kind of thing for your podcast, don't worry about it. And it sounds like a little thing for him to have done, but it helped me so much. And it just gave me a huge sense of relief to just not panic about this episode that it was just going to take me ages to like sort out. And it just gave me the headspace and time to really give it the attention that I wanted to and do a good job of editing it and create the story that you've now just heard, because it's a piece of audio that's so amazing once it's put together correctly. But the way it first came out was not so good, and it was just so nice of him to do that for me because I really did want to do a good job. So yeah, cool guy, and you can really help others and also help yourself by being nice to them. Number three. Oh wait, no, we're on to books. Oh good, that was Sam. Okay. Books, yes. The first book recommended is The Alchemist by Paolo Coelho. This is a story of Santiago's journey, which teaches us about the essential wisdom of listening to our hearts, of recognizing opportunity, learning to read the omens strewn along life's path, and most importantly, to follow our dreams. And it's an awesome book, and I love it, so you should totally read it too. There's the odd person in like 50 who seem to hate it, and hopefully that isn't you. He also recommended Beyond Entrepreneurship by James C. Collins. This inspiring work provides entrepreneurs with the building blocks to help their companies sustain high performance, play a leadership role in their industries, and remain great for generations. And the first 80 pages is basically just like a CEO manual, according to Augustin. And lastly, I also recommend, if you like The Alchemist, that you should read The Little Prince by Anton de Saint-Exupéry. It's one of the most lovely books for children or adults of all ages, and it just has some great perspectives on the world and how it really is, and the silly things that we care about for no good reason at all. And an interesting fact, it was written in French and is the most translated book ever of any book written in French. So, must be quite good. And on that note, that is the end of the show. So, go have yourself a Merry Christmas. If you enjoy the show and want to encourage me to be creative and make more episodes just like this, then you can support me at my Patreon. Patreon.com/growthmindset. So I love making these episodes for you, and I would love to dedicate more time to it and to just make the best podcast possible. And with your support, I can do that. Other benefits from becoming a patron will include the chance to ask questions on the show to me or to guests, and to suggest episode topics and suggest guests to be on the show. So if you like what I'm doing, send me some sweet supporting love. Or if you think the podcast is just terrible and really needs to improve, you can improve it with your money. Perfect. So head on over to patreon.com/growthmindset and join the crew from as little as $1. You've just listened to an episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your preferred app and give me a good rating, as these go a really long way. If you are unable to give good feedback right now, try sharing the show with a friend who will, or just wait for the show to improve. If you have any ideas for the show or you just want to chat, then please reach out to me on Twitter at SamHarrisTweets or Instagram at SamJamSnaps. Show notes and other links to topics discussed in the episodes are available at the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening. Give yourself a big hug from me. If you're with a friend, give them a hug as well. And I hope you enjoy your next podcast.